Welcome to the Padres postgame show on the Padres Radio Network. Coming up, we'll deliver a full recap of the game with highlights, player interviews, and we'll take you down to the manager's office to hear from Jay Stingler. Plus, an update on the scores from around baseball, final comments from the radio booth, and of course, your phone calls. You can call us at 833-288-0973. Catch it all here on the Padres Radio Network.
After a long night of traveling for the Padres down to Miami, Florida, they end up taking care of business, and that is the Blake Snell we all wanted to see. Blake Snell gets the win for the Padres, and when he was pitching for the Padres, he looked really, really good. It started a bit slow, but once he got his changeup going, he was cruising through the lineup, and the bullpen tonight, on the other hand, was not as good as Blake Snell, and I'm sure Blake Snell was thinking from the dugout, please do not give up my win. Austin Adams almost did that, but the Padres did just enough to get the win tonight. And when we look back, all we'll see is a W next to the day. Doesn't matter how it got done. All we need to know is it got done. We did have some history tonight involving our guy Fernando Tatis Jr., but we'll tell you about that in about 7 minutes or so in the highlight section. We are going to take your calls as well, 833-288-0973, or you can tweet me at Matt Scraby. And we'll talk about that decision to take Blake Snell out of the game in the bottom of the seventh when he came out for one batter. He gave up a double, and then he was taken out of the game. I personally felt like I wanted to see him go a little bit longer, and I've said this before on the post-game show that this is why I'm sitting in this seat and I'm not managing a Major League Baseball team because I don't have all of the information, but it's something that, I don't know, you just get a feel from sometimes. People on Twitter were telling me, oh, the analytics told them to take him out. Well, I get analytics, and I can follow analytics. I can buy into analytics a little bit. But you also, at the same time, you got to feel like you're making the right move. And tonight, I wanted to see Blake Snell do a little bit more. He had 92 pitches. When was the last time you saw Blake Snell give one of those, have a start like this? It's been a long while since he's had a start like this. So why not use that and continue the confidence that he has trying to get out of the inning? I mean, you give up a double to start the inning. I would much rather, and I know that Austin Adams is very good. I know that he is, and we talked about some stats the other day and how he is on some scoreless streak for five and something innings. But today he was not very good. And we've seen both sides of Austin Adams. He's either really, really good or he's not very good at all. And tonight he lost all of his command, and he ended up hitting a batter in the back of the head. So hopefully he's good, but I just wanted to see Blake Snell in there. I tweeted, if I would much rather have had Blake Snell give up a run than have Austin Adams come in and implode, because that's exactly what happened. He walked in the first run of the game. So it's one of those things where I was not too happy with that decision. But again, this is why I'm sitting in this chair, and I'm not managing a Major League Baseball team. But that was really the one thing that I saw tonight that was glaring to me. And it just kind of a little. And I know that they won. I make it sound like they lost. The Padres did not lose. They won 3-2. But I'm like everybody else. I am greedy. And when I see the Padres pitching well from Blake, getting a good start from Blake Snell, I want them to continue that. And then when the bullpen comes in, I want the bullpen to dominate too. I was looking for a shutout tonight. A 3-0 shutout, if that's what it needed to be. I mean, the Padres four hit the Marlins tonight, and the Marlins scored two runs. But those two runs shouldn't have happened, in my opinion. So if you want to tell me I'm wrong, you can. 833-288-0973. If you want to talk it out, 833-288-0973. We're going to take your calls. We're also going to go through some of the tweets that we get throughout the postgame show at Matt Scraby, at 97.3 The Fan SD. And we have a ton of highlights to talk about. We're going to talk with Coach John Katerra about the game. I'm going to ask him about that removal of Blake Snell from the game. 92 pitches, it's a lot of pitches, but it's not enough with the way that he was pitching for me to want to see him leave the game. I really, and I saw it in his face, and maybe there was an agreement before the inning, like, okay, we're going to send you back out there, but if you give up a hit, we're going to take you out. And I know it was a lefty-on-lefty thing, too, so maybe that was the plan the whole time. Maybe Blake Snell knew the entire time, I get one batter and I'm coming out. But I really like to feel like the sometimes they'll throw the rule book out the window, the analytic rule book out the window, because the numbers don't lie. I know that. And over time, I've slowly kind of I've slowly liked the way the analytics are a part of baseball, but there's just certain things where you got to feel the energy in that moment, and you have to make sure that you're not making a mistake. And I guess you can't say Jace Tingler made a mistake because the Padres win, but it was a little hairy there down the stretch. Austin Adams hitting people in the back of their head. He wasn't even close. He threw 21 pitches and he only threw 9 for strikes. So that is tough for the Padres. And Emilio Pagan, he came in with the bases loaded. That was a tough spot. Jesus Aguilar up to the plate for the Marlins, their best hitter. And I was just praying that there was no grand slam, because he was hitting .342 with runners in scoring, with the bases loaded in that situation. So it didn't look good, but Emilio Pagan was able to get the out and get the Padres into the dugout without any more damage happening. So we're going to talk about it all night. I see you on the phones. If you want to give us a call, 833-288-0973. I'm Matt Scraby. Should we take one phone call, Thomas? Okay, let's take one phone call. Who's been holding the longest? Let's go to, I think it's Logan. Logan, is that you? Or is it Kelly or Logan? Hello, you're on 97.3 The Fan. All right, we're going to put you back on hold. We're going to try to figure out some of these people's names. So let's go, and we're going to line two. Sean, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, hey, Sean. How's it going? Positive Sean. What's up, Positive
Sean?
Yes,
Positive Sean. What's up? Long time no...
Yeah, what's going on? How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm glad that we won this game, and now I'm glad we're doing pretty good the second half. 4 wins, 1 loss so far the second half. Not bad.
That's true. That's true. Did you want to see Blake Snell stay in the game right there at that moment in time?
I would a little bit, but it was kind of iffy because it was a guy on second base, and if he would have gave up the runs, then they would have been tied, and like, I don't know.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling, Sean. I'm sure I'll be talking to you here in the next couple days. Padres get the win 3-2 over the Marlins. We're waiting for Jace Tingler to speak with the media right now. So thanks again, Sean, for the phone call. Let's take one more before we head to break. My screener is all messed up. Kathy on one. We're going to have to fix that screener in the break. But Kathy, how's it going?
Pretty good. I'm glad to hear you finally get to do a post-game show here, Scraby.
I know. It's been a while. It's been a while. But what's on your mind tonight?
I'm kind of torn between, you know, leaving him out. I mean, it was really nice to see him have a good game on the road, because I know that's been a long time coming. So, and then when he gave up the double, it's kind of like, okay, is he starting to kind of, you know, wind down a little bit? So it's like, I'm kind of like going back and forth whether or not it was a good idea. I really wanted to see him go a little bit further into the game just to kind of help build up his confidence more.
Mm-hmm.
But then if he'd given up, you know, any runs, would that have kind of like just made him implode? You know, it's just kind of like, I don't know. But I mean, I love him too much to really want to see him kind of go back to what was going on in the first half. Hopefully this is a brand new start for him in the second half, where he's, you know, like I said, the confidence is going to be built up with this game tonight, that he could really do it. And, you know, it just, I don't know.
I think it's going to, well, we talked about pregame with Jesse Agler. I think it's going to do a lot of good for Blake Snell just to get his head right, knowing that he could pitch on the road. He's been quite frankly awful on the road this year, and he gave up no runs tonight. So that is a huge thing for him and his confidence going forward, I think.
Oh, definitely. And like I said, that's why I was kind of like, I'm kind of glad that Ting pulled him out, just so he would, you know, wouldn't, you know, like I said, implode, kind of like what happened to Austin Adams. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, that whole thing, hopefully Beattie's okay.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, scary. It's got, you never want to see anybody get hurt in a game.
No, ever. Definitely not, especially with the pitch to the head. So thank you so much, Kathy, for the phone call. I'm glad to speak with you again on the post-game show. We'll talk to you soon.
Later.
Bye. All right. I know Kathy, she was saying on Twitter she was wearing her Blake Snell jersey tonight. So, you know, maybe that was the good luck charm. We're going to take one more phone call before we head into Jace Tingler. He is speaking with the media. We're going to bring you that in just 1 second. But let's go to Ryan on line two, Thomas. Ryan, you're on 97.3 The Fan. What's up? Ryan.
Hey,
what's up, man?
Hey, man. Good to hear you. Nice to hear you in the nighttime.
Oh, thank you.
Love that you're covering the night game. Just to take here, man, you know, it's Miami. You know, let this one slide. Let's not dwell on it. Love the fact that, you know, we got the win. But, you know, let's move forward. Let's not dwell on, you know, the fact that in my opinion, I agree with you, we underperformed. But let's look forward. Let's look forward to the series that are upcoming. And also, I'd like to focus, which I'm sure you're going to touch on, the trade deadline. So,
yeah,
not a pretty win, but happy to have it and looking forward to what's to come.
All right, Ryan. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks. You can call back anytime during the postgame show. Appreciate that. And, yeah, we will talk about the trade deadline a little bit. And you're right, Ryan. It is the Miami Marlins, but at the same time, they're still a Major League Baseball team, and the Marlins came into the game, and they were not great with the bat. Their pitching has been okay. Their pitching has actually been okay, but they are not great with the bat, so it's I'm happy that Blake Snell was able to get this out of the way. And I'm sorry, Blake Snell ended up giving up one earned run. I forgot that because Austin Adams inherited a runner on second. So he did give up a run, but still, it's not the 9 that his ERA is saying that he's going to give up. But appreciate the phone call, Ryan. And yes, you're right. We'll just move forward. And like I said in the open, it's a W. And when we look back in the schedule, we're just going to see a W. We're not going to see all the things that we're talking about right now. But I do love to talk about everything that happened during the game tonight. So please give us a call, 833-288-0973, or you can tweet me at Matt Scraby. Without further ado, I'm pretty sure that the media has asked Jace Tingler about his decision to take Blake Snell out of the game, so let's bring you his answer.
Let's take a trip down to the Padres clubhouse and hear from the manager, Jace Tingler. Presented by Sin Lee Food. Find your next cooking adventure at Sin Lee Food, 4665 El Cajon Boulevard, the Cook's Asian Resource.
Jace, congratulations on the victory tonight. Blake Snell, he looked really sharp out there tonight. What was the difference in him for him tonight?
Yeah, I think the start of the third inning really started to click for him. I thought the way he was able to get ahead, he was on the attack all night. And, you know, from the third inning on, I just thought he was really dialed in. He kept repeating. They had a long run of righties. And I thought, you know, him being able to establish that arm side fastball and getting ahead and then working everything else off of that. But I think just that the amount of strikes he threw, you know, especially in the third, fourth and fifth and was in a really good role and I should say group and just absolutely great to see. And I think it's one that he's capable of really building on and repeating.
Did it seem like it was the slider that helped him out in those first few innings until he started getting the fastball command down? Then he was started to drop the curveball in as well those last few innings to go with the fastball.
Yeah, I think so. And when he's able to kind of hit that lane with the fastball, the slider and curveball play really well off of it. So I think they went hand in hand. And then, you know, like I said, he just had a great ability to repeat tonight and just stayed locked in mentally, did a great job and stayed on the attack all night.
Do you know if there's anything different that he'd been working on in his bullpen the last week or anything that sort of helped him find that groove tonight or it was just time and it clicked in finally?
You know, his bullpens have been pretty good. I think it's just a matter of just kind of taking some of that into the game with the adrenaline and everything going on. And you know, he picked us up huge tonight.
14 guys left on base. Obviously, that's not how you plan it, but you did manufacture the runs that you needed. Your thoughts on the offense tonight?
Yeah, I thought you know, we grinded out some at bats, which was good to see. We didn't execute as well as we needed with those runners in scoring position, maybe a little bit more late. But we knew coming in, you know, the Marlins situation with it was probably going to be a bullpen day. Sometimes those can be a little bit challenging. But I thought we did a really good job of battling, staying in the zone. And, you know, it's right now, like, you know, with the Marlins, some of their, you know, top end guys are out, but they've done a great job. We knew it coming in. It seems like they get, you know, these arms from everywhere across the board, and they've got a deep system of quality arms. And so we knew it was going to be a challenge. We knew it was going to be a grind, and that's what we're expecting the next couple of days as well.
How good was it to have Austin Nola back in your lineup, back behind the dish, and how'd you think he looked tonight?
I thought he looked great. I thought his at-bats were great. I think he had, you know, two walks early in the game, and I thought that ball he hit late, you know, off the bat, I thought it was going to get over Duvall's head. I thought it jumped off the bat, and Duvall had a good jump on it and was able to run it down. And then defensively, he just picked right up or off of, you know, where like he was in mid-season form. I thought him and Blake had a great dynamic tonight. He handled the bullpen guys well, and him and Melanson were in a groove there late. And I do want to say, you know, the job of Pagan and Hill tonight, and obviously, you know, Adams has been as good as anybody down there for us tonight. It was just one of those nights. You know, just didn't have the command on the slider, but he'd been so good for us. So it was nice to see everyone just kind of pick everybody up tonight.
Thank you, Jason.
Hey, Jace. Even when the results weren't there, Jurickson's at-bats were pretty good throughout the year. But is there something right now that you're seeing that you like?
Yeah, the second half, maybe a week or so before the All-Star break, I really thought, you know, he's really making pretty short, tight moves to the ball. From both sides, but I really like the left-handed at-bats right now. He's doing a great job, and he's worked hard. He's worked hard with Flaherty and with ease to make some adjustments and kind of find that sweet spot for him. And right now he's in a pretty good place. He's also doing a good job defensively. We're obviously playing him all over the world. He's playing good baseball right now, which is what he's capable of doing.
Speaking of that, the double switch you made with Haas coming out, just another example of your versatility, or was that just pretty natural since Haas had been the second to last guy out?
Yeah, it was a little bit more natural. You know, I was hoping Adams was going to be able to get through, you know, that inning. And, you know, once we made the move, Pagan was probably our – well, he was our freshest guy down there in those leverage spots. So I think he was coming up or the pitcher spot was coming up the next inning. And so we knew we needed that last out to get Jesus, and then we were going to send him back out. So that's kind of why it was pretty new.
That was Jace Tingler, apparently at a concert there at the end. No, that was him meeting with the media after a 3-2 win for the Padres tonight. Blake Snell, he went six innings tonight. He gave up three hits, one earned run. He walked three, but he struck out eight. He looked a lot better than he's looked in a long time. So definitely stuff to build off of here for Blake Snell. And I loved seeing what I saw from him tonight. Let's go to one more phone call before we hit the break. And if you're online, please hold on. We'll get to you. But let's go to Justin. Did Thomas accidentally hang up on him? Okay, I think Thomas actually maybe accidentally hung up on you, Justin. So give us a call back. That is not my fault, and we'll get you back on the show as soon as possible. I'm Matt Scraby. When we get back, we have some game highlights. We'll be talking to Coach, and I'm going to tell you about what Fernando Tatis Jr. did for the first time since 1898. That's always a good thing. So we'll get to that when we get back here in 3 minutes on 97.3 The Fan. Matt Scraby back with you here in the Odyssey Palace, 97.3 The Fan, after a Padres win over the Marlins 3-2 in game one of a four-game series. And let's real quick give a round of applause to the Marlins for having a roof so that we could finally get through a nine-inning baseball game this week. It's been rough. It's been rough. All right, we're going to get to the highlights in 1 second. I'm going to tell you about that Fernando Tatis Jr. stat, but since Thomas hung up on you, Justin, we're going to take you right now. Justin, thank you for calling back in. How's it going? What's on your mind?
Hey, you are right. It should be, like, mandatory that any team that builds a stadium has a retractable roof. It's serious, right?
Like, yeah, I agree
but
with
it's
you.
Nice to have you guys, it's nice to have you guys back on. I agree with you wanting Snell to go back out there, but he went 2-0 on that first batter and then laid that double. And I mean, hindsight, right? Like, I mean, Austin Adams has been lights out all year. So I think it's a good start. I agree with what Kathy was saying. I think it's good for him. I think it's good for the team. He's a second-half pitcher anyways. The problem was the 14 guys left on. The game shouldn't have been 3-0 then. It should have been, like, at least 5-0 at that time. So, you know, Snell, I think, is going to get on a roll. We're going to pick up a couple starters here before the trade deadline. I think we're good with the bats. I think we've got Profar and Myers and Haas in a right spot and Nola back. I think we just lay low on that and hold some of the farm together, you know?
You know what, Justin, I say to that call? Good call, Justin. Thank you so much for calling back in. I agree with you. I mean, they definitely need some starting pitching, but that is pretty much my thoughts right there, what Justin just said. So thanks again, Justin. I'm sorry that Thomas hung up on you. He's not very nice. We will talk about it in the break. I'm just kidding. All right, it's time for the highlights. And if you do want to give us a call, 833-288-0973. We'll take you after Coach John Quintero. But first, let's figure out what happened tonight.
Let's listen back to the most exciting plays from today's game with our game highlights presented by EcoWater SoCal. What's in your water? Find out online at EcoWaterSoCal.com and schedule your free water test today. That's EcoWaterSoCal.com.
Well, the main storyline for me coming into the game was Blake Snell and how he pitched tonight. He needed a good start, and he got one. It's against the Marlins, yes, but sometimes you just need that get-right game, and I was hoping tonight was that game. It didn't start well, though. He walked the first batter, and I was thinking, uh-oh, here we go again. But he ended up striking out Jesus Aguilar and Adam Duvall back-to-back to end the first, then top of the second, and the Padres were looking to score. With one out, Eric Hosmer walked, then advanced to second on a passed ball. Then right after that, Eric Hosmer got to third on a wild pitch by Jordan Holloway. Then Austin Nola also walked, and the Padres then tried to find a way to drive in Eric Hosmer.
Runners on first and third, one out, no score. And the 0-2 fastball hits slowly on the ground to Aguilar, goes down to second, that's one. Rojas return throw is not in time. It was in time, but they'll say Aguilar was off the base. So the Padres get a run. And 1-0 San Diego in the second.
At that point, they hadn't gotten a hit yet, but they were up in the game 1-0, so that would have been fun if they were to go the entire game. Jesse and Tony were talking about that. Could there be anything worse than throwing a no-hitter and then losing because it was a sack fly or something like that? But anyway, the third inning was quick and painless, 1-2-3 on both sides. We moved to the top of the fourth with one out. Tommy Pham singled. Hosmer grounded out but moved Tommy Pham to second. Then Austin Nola walked with two outs, and Jerickson Profar came to the plate with two on and two out.
1-1 to Profar. Jerickson kind of muscles that one out into shallow center. Marte charging, can't get there. Falls in front of him for a base hit. Pham is on his way home. He will score. Throw came up the line, and Alfaro, the catcher, did a good job kind of diving after it to prevent any further advance. But Jerickson Profar with an RBI single. He has driven in both Padre runs. It's 2-0 here in the fourth.
And usually I would just move on to the next inning, but right after that, Blake Snell got another hit. So good for Blake Snell. He's hitting at the plate and he's pitching well. That's what baseball players do. And he had three straight games with a hit, is what I'm being told by my esteemed producer, Thomas Andrews. Blake Snell, he singled in the top of the fourth, and then he struck out two more Marlins in the bottom of the fourth. Top of the fifth started with Fernando Tatis Jr. walk, and then he stole his 23rd base of the season by swiping second, and here is that stat I was telling you about. According to ESPN Stats and Info, Fernando Tatis Jr., his stolen base in the fifth inning, with that, he became the fastest player in regards to games played to reach 50 career home runs and 50 career stolen bases since 1898 when modern steal rules were adopted. So Fernando, just, he breaks records honestly once a week, and I'm not even kidding about that. It's awesome that he does that. So, fastest player by games to reach 50 career homers and 50 career stolen bases since 1898. With Fernando on second, Jake Cronenworth grounded out and moved Tatis to third. That brought Miami's own Manny Machado to the plate.
2-1 to Machado. We'll see if they give him something now. And he reaches for a pitch, hits it in the air to left center. That should get it done. Brinson back to make the catch. Plenty deep for Fernando. He's on his way home. It will be an RBI for Machado. Sacrifice fly to make it 3-0 Padres. And Manny drives in his 66th run of the season.
Blake Snell, he had another great inning in the bottom of the fifth. He saw four batters. He struck out one. He allowed a double to one, then a ground out and a fly out. And up to this point, it was the Blake Snell show, and he did his job tonight, and he did it well, and did so to end the sixth.
Payoff pitch to Adam Duvall on the way, and it is swung on and missed, strike three. Snell reached back, found 95 miles an hour, and collects his eighth strikeout of the night. Blake Snell is through six innings for just the third time this season.
The bottom of the seventh is where it gets very, very, very interesting. Blake Snell was sent back out by Chase Tingler, and just three pitches into the inning, Snell gave up a double, and that was it for him. The outing was really good to see from him. He started slow, but he found his groove, didn't look back. He went six innings, gave up only three hits, one earned run, walked three, but struck out eight in 92 pitches. And then Austin Adams relieved Snell. I'm not the biggest fan of this move, and we're going to talk to Coach John Cotter here in just a few minutes about this, but I think sometimes you just have to throw analytics out the window, and you go with your gut. Austin Adams is usually a very good pitcher, and I love seeing him come into the game most times, but tonight was not his night, and he made things a little nerve-wracking for Blake Snell and Padres fans.
Adams and Nola working together. Did so in Seattle, now as Padres. First pitch and panic swings. Floats one out towards shallow left center. That drops down for a base hit. Gets to Pham on one hop. Diaz comes in to score. And the Marlins on the board. It's 3-1 here in the seventh.
And at that point, we were a little nervous because things were getting dicey on the base paths. The Marlins were starting to get some runners on, and this came actually after Adams hit a Marlins player, Birdie, in the back of the head with an errant pitch, and it was not good. Command was not his game tonight. Adams threw 21 pitches and only threw 9 strikes. Emilio Pagan relieved Austin Adams, and things got dramatic with the bases loaded and Jesus Aguilar at the plate, but Pagan got him to pop out, and the inning was over. No more worries. To the bottom of the ninth, the Shark, which, by the way, I found out why he's called the Shark. It's because he dove with great white sharks and swam with them in New Zealand, and they named a shark after him. So that is why they call him the Shark. But he came on Mark Melancon to close it out. He strikes out Lewis Brinson. Joe Panic lined out, and the Marlins were down to their last out.
Melancon has his sign from Austin Nola. Into the delivery. Here's the pitch to the Marlin catcher and a ground ball right to first base. Profar's got it. He brings it himself. And for the second straight day, Mark Melancon works a 1-2-3 inning to pick up a save. This is his 29th of the season. Leads all of baseball. And the Padres take game one of the series in Miami by a final of 3-2.
So the Padres, as you just heard Jesse say, they went 3-2. They scored 3 runs on 7 hits. They had no errors. The Miami Marlins scored 2 runs on 4 hits. They did have 1 error. And Blake Snell picks up the win 4-3. Jordan Holloway takes the loss for the Marlins. He's 2-3 on the season. And then Mark Melancon picks up his Major League Baseball leading 29th save of the season. So all good stuff there. I know that we have a few phone callers. We're going to go to Coach John Cotter now, but JD and Philip, hold on. We're going to get to you. But let's bring on Coach John Cotter. Coach, what were you thinking tonight when Jay Singler came out to the mound and took Blake Snell out? Right move, wrong move?
Well, you know, he should know his pitchers better than we do. I will tell you this. I think I would have gone probably to give Snell another opportunity. But again, Matt, you got to remember a couple of things. Number one, you got to win ball games right now. I mean, you got the Dodgers and Giants going at it. You don't want to let a game slip away. And the other thing, you don't want Snell to leave that ball game in a tie situation. I mean, if he ends up, you know, giving up a run there, or, you know, he gives up a home run, all of a sudden it's 3-3 of the game. He goes to the dugout dejected. What he did the prior six innings kind of goes out the window. So you want to leave that guy with his dignity and give him a good feeling for his next start. And, you know, this bullpen has been so good. And Austin Adams, you know, he was not very good tonight, but he's been great on the year.
I mean,
The guy's given up about two runs since the month of April, I think.
Yeah.
His ERA is 1.83, but he was all over the roadmap tonight. He couldn't throw a strike. 9 strikes out of 21 pitches. He hit Birdie in the head, and hopefully Birdie's all right. He obviously cut the back of his head.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a rough night. And, you know, Austin Adams, he throws that slider so much, and he throws it over 88% of the time, Matt. And, you know, he got a pretty good fastball, but he just abandoned that entirely tonight. And the other thing, that's the 15th batter he's hit this year. You know that he leads all of Major League Baseball, and he's a relief pitcher. He's hit 15 guys.
I know. I said that
year,
to Thomas so, in
you
studio.
Know you know, I would say if I was managing, I would have probably given Snell one more batter. But I certainly understand this day and age why Jace Tingler did what he did.
Yeah, I can understand it too. You broke it down very well, Coach. I said early in the post-game show that I wasn't a fan of it, but if Blake Snell does give up a run or two, then it could hurt his confidence. So the only thing that matters is that they got the win. And I'm just updating you on John Birdie. This is from Bally Sports Florida. He was diagnosed with a concussion and received 3 stitches for a laceration on the back of his head. But otherwise, he seems like he is okay. So that is good news. Very, very good news for John Birdie. But otherwise, what did you think of what Blake Snell did early in the game when he was... Because he put his change up in timeout, so his slider was working a little bit. And he got into a groove there, and he looked like the Blake Snell that we've seen and the Blake Snell that we love.
You know, a couple of things about Blake Snell. You know, I thought he was much more aggressive tonight with his fastball. He wasn't nibbling. He was challenging hitters a little bit more. The slider was good at times. He also relied on the curveball. And you brought up how he put the changeup kind of in the icebox and didn't use it tonight. You know what's really interesting, Matt? If you go back and look at his career, his changeup has been, you know, one of his more dynamic pitches, but for whatever reason this year with the Padres, it's just not been all that good, and it's gotten hit very, very hard. So, you know, it's something he's had in the past. It's been really good, but it's something really that's escaped him so far this year. But, you know, hopefully this is a building block for him. I was very impressed with the way he pitched tonight, and especially on the road. You know, he, as Jesse pointed out in the broadcast tonight, that's the third time he's gone 6 innings this year. That's the first time he's done it on the road, and we know how poorly he's pitched on the road. So that's a little bit of a confidence builder, I think, tonight for Mr. Snell. And you also pointed out, good job on that. He's got a 3-game hitting streak now also.
He does, and he came into the year saying, I'm not the best hitter. I'm not the best hitter, and I don't really like hitting. But now I think he's up to like a 190 average or something like that. What do you think about Fernando Tatis becoming the fastest player by games to reach 50 career homers and 50 career stolen bases since 1898? He's honestly breaking records every single week.
Well, it's pretty amazing. I mean, he did not have a, let's face it, he didn't have a great ball game tonight.
No.
0-for-4 walk, did score a run, struck out 3 times tonight. He was really upset in that last at bat when they called the check swing early on, and that kind of took that a bat away from him from the standpoint. He kind of took himself out of it. He was really upset with the first base umpire, and then he let a fastball right down the middle go by, and then he ended up striking out on another check swing. So, you know, congratulations to Fernando. I mean, we're going to be talking about this guy forever. He's going to be breaking records all the time, and, you know, he's going to not just break some, you know, record that probably nobody knew about until tonight, okay? But wait till he starts breaking some big-time records for shortstops and what he does offensively. And, you know, Braden asked me a question the other day on the show and asked me if I would I like to see Fernando go 40-40. You know what? I really don't this year, and I'm going to tell you why. I'd love to see him hit 40-plus homers. I don't necessarily need to see him steal, you know, 40 bases this year. People don't realize when you're stealing bases, it takes a lot of wear and tear on your body, and we need to keep this young guy healthy for the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, what it was also interesting about his at-bat there, the last at-bat where he got a little bit, I think the most animated I've ever seen Fernando after something like a check swing. He was angry.
I agree.
And I like seeing that out of him. I mean, it's nice to have the Fernando where he's having fun playing the game and all that stuff, but I also like that fired up Fernando. I liked what I saw there.
Well, let me tell you something. Just from having coached and managed and having been kicked out of a couple of games along the way in my career, okay? When you don't argue all the time, and this is kind of the reputation I had when I was coaching in high school and college and some of the top summer ball teams around the country, you know, when you don't argue all the time and you do come out and argue, umpires will listen to you and they'll give you a little bit more leeway, but the guys that are chirping all the time, they don't want to hear it. So that tells me both the home plate umpire and first base umpire tonight, they'll probably talk about that when they went back and they're drinking a cold one after they get their uniform off and are getting ready to go back to the hotel. I guarantee you they talk about that and said, hey, do we miss that one on Fernando tonight? And, you know, I think from the first base side, it probably could have gone either way. The over-the-top I saw on TV, it looked like he probably went a little bit too far. But, again, you know, that's a judgment call by the umpire. But, you know, when you're arguing all the time, you're kind of like the boy that cries wolf. They quit listening to you.
Yeah.
Or they get rid of you. But when you argue very little, and you bring up a great point, Fernando never says anything.
No.
I mean, the umpires are going to take notice of that, and they're going to respect him, and they're going to probably replay that play in their mind. They may even go back and look at the tape.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, but I'm sure that they do. Last one for me, Coach, is that the team tonight was 2-for-13 with runners in scoring position. And Tony, to sign off the broadcast, he said, I'd much rather have 13 opportunities than to have one or two opportunities. So that is the glass half full way of looking at it. What is your thoughts on that?
Well, this team has to get better with runners in scoring position. I mean, this is a team that's 41-56 now, the Miami Marlins. They play a lot of tight games. They're a competitive team, okay? They just don't have maybe the big boppers in the middle of the lineup. They got Aguilar, and Cooper didn't play tonight. He's a pretty good hitter. You know, they got another young player that's out right now. But, you know, they're going to play a lot of tight ball games. But when you leave 14 runners on base and go 2-for-13, you're not going to win a lot of baseball games. Luckily, the Padres are playing good defense right now. They're getting real good pitching. Great effort tonight by Snell. But the Padres, I mean, if you go back and look, this is really a trend, okay? I mean, they'll get hot against a couple of teams for a couple of days like they did last weekend with the Nationals. But you go back and look at it, runners in scoring position, this team has not been great all year long. They're getting guys on. They got to find a way to put the ball in play, get a sacrifice fly, move runners along. They got to get a little bit better than that. And you know what? Jace talks about that all the time. So it's not like I'm talking, you know, out of school here. But, hey, you know the bottom line? It's a lot better to leave 14 on and go 2-for-13 and go back to the hotel with a 3-2 victory.
Very true, Coach. Very true. All right. I will be on the post game tomorrow night, so I will be talking to you then. Anything else before you sign off for the night?
No, I'm looking forward to Big Joe Musgrove going at it tomorrow night. And, you know, this Marlins team a little bit struggling right now in their starting staff. Pedro Lopez has been down. I know this weekend they're going to get, at some point, I think it's Sunday, Trevor Rogers, who made the All-Star team, very talented guy. But, you know, the Padres right now, they're playing pretty good baseball. And, you know, suck it up for three more days, get back for an off day before the Oakland Athletics show up at Petco Park on Tuesday night.
All right, Coach, thank you so much for joining us on the postgame show. I will talk to you tomorrow night.
Hey, I'll look forward to it, Mac. Great job.
Thank you very much. You too, Coach. That was Coach John Katera here with us on the postgame show, as he is every postgame show. You can listen to him weekdays from noon to 3. He and Braden Soprano break down all the latest in the sports world. We are going to take one call, and then I know that we have JD and we also have Richard. Is that correct? Philip, I'm sorry. Philip, we're going to have to wait till after the break because JD has been holding longer. So, JD in Poway, you are on 97.3 The Fan. What's on your mind?
Hey, it was fantastic to see Blake Snell step up and throw a game like that. You know, I know it was a little controversial when he went out, but, you know, the game that he threw and to do it on the road, that I think that is a tremendous confidence builder for him. The one thing that was disappointing, and Coach touched on it, is it wasn't like the Padres. We had way too many people in scoring position without getting a freaking hit. That was frustrating tonight. I was fully expecting at one of those situations for somebody to come through with it. But, you know, once in a while you just get a game like that. So, yeah, you just scratch it off to, hey, you got a victory. That's a good part of it. So there ain't too much whining to do.
You know, I love that, JD. Thank you for bringing that to the show, because absolutely, I mean, in the end, it's a W in the win column in the record, and so it doesn't matter. Like I said in the open, it's probably going to be one of those things where, remember that one time, and thank you so much for the phone call, JD. Remember that one time that Blake Snell got taken out in the seventh inning after facing one batter and they still got the win? No, we're probably not going to talk about that, because it's a win. It's not a loss. The only time we talk about stuff like that is when it's a loss and we can point to something. And again, JD, you said something else, that there was controversy of him being taken out. I would rather have controversy of when to take someone out than to not have any controversy and have the Padres get blown out. So that is, we're going to be glass half full. Tony Gwynn Jr., for some reason, has gotten into my head with his outlook at the end of the game, and he has made me feel like I need to be glass half full, which is, for all of you who know me and listen to Gwynn and Chris, you know that I'm not usually glass half full. Thomas is telling me to go to break. The Padres beat the Marlins tonight 3-2. When we get back, Philip, we are going to take your phone call. We're also going to go through the play of the game, and we're going to hear from Blake Snell. So stick around. We have more to go on the postgame show. I'm Matt Scraby. This is your home for Padres baseball, 97.3 The Fan.
What was the turning point in today's game? Let's take a listen to the Bold Play of the Game, presented by Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade. Bold, bubbly, packed with lemonade flavor.
Melanson has his sign from Austin Nola. Into the delivery. Here's the pitch to the Marlin catcher and a ground ball right to first base. Profar's got it. He brings it himself. And for the second straight day, Mark Melanson works a 1-2-3 inning to pick up a save. This is his 29th of the season. Leads all of baseball. And the Padres take game one of the series in Miami by a final of 3-2.
Mark Melanson, after giving up that or blowing that game on Sunday against the Nationals, he has been lights out the two other times that he has been thrown out there to get the save for the Padres. So that is our play of the game, because the Padres needed that to get the win, and he only threw 11 pitches again, 8 for strikes. So Mark Melanson is very efficient in his last two save, not opportunities, last two saves. All right, Philip, I told you we were going to take your phone call, so let's go to you right now on the phones, 833-288-0973, if you want to join us. What's going on, Philip?
Hey, it's great. Thanks for having me on. You
of
know,
course.
Real simple, just really happy to see Austin Nola back in the lineup tonight.
Yes,
I think that's offensively.
Yeah, well, I mean, it definitely is a different look in the lineup, and he's going to have to figure out how to, I mean, he hasn't been in the Major League lineup for a while, so he's going to have to figure out how to get some hits, but other than that, he's great to see his face in the lineup.
Absolutely. Caratini's been amazing. I think we got to give him a round of applause, because he's definitely been filling the gaps when we need him. But to get Nola in that lineup, I think really makes the
lineup so deadly. It is. And I like when Austin Nola is able to hit, this lineup could be really, really dangerous. So anything else, Philip? I know that you were on hold for a while, so I wanted to give you the opportunity.
That was it, man. Just you owe me a round of golf. Shoot me a message, and we'll get down whenever you're...
Oh, that's that, Philip. Okay, yes, I definitely do. Thank you for calling me, Philip. I will get back to you on that, but appreciate your phone call anytime on the post-game show. Matt Scraby here, 97.3 The Fan, after a Padres win 3-2 over the Marlins. We have some Blake Snell audio, so let's go and find out why he put his change up in timeout.
Let's take you inside the clubhouse and find out what the Padres have to say after today's game on the Padres Radio Network.
Blake, congratulations. Great outing tonight. What was the key for you this evening?
The fastball. I'm going to start throwing strikes with it. The first thing, I was really frustrated because I felt good. I was just nowhere near the zone. So that was pretty frustrating, but, you know, finally got in a rhythm and started attacking the zone, and then had a little tempo there to actually – you know, start to make the rhythm a lot better. But yeah, just the fastball slider was a good mix today. And then the curveball in and out was really good as well. So but I think it all just started with the fastball command.
by the end of the outing, were you feeling as sharp as you had all season in terms of having all of your pitches going for you? I shouldn't say all the pitches. I didn't see many changeups tonight, but as far as the fastball, curveball, slider?
Changeups and timeout. I'm annoyed with it.
It's on timeout again?
Yeah. I mean, that's how the relationship's been. It needs to get better. So I'm going to keep working with it, but it needs to talk, you know, it needs to have better communication with me. But yeah, I mean, honestly, I just think all around now, the fastball command was really everything. I mean, I think I walked three guys, which needs to get a lot better, but, outside of that, just really looking at it, the fastball command in and out, up and down was really good.
Was there anything in particular that you did to sort of find that rhythm in the third inning or so? Was it a mechanical adjustment, or just things just finally started clicking in for you?
Me getting mad at myself. I think I'm pretty, you know, pretty honest with myself. And I just said, like, this is what you need to do to succeed. And I was able to work today, but I got to continue to get better. I got to continue to stay in the zone and make them swing.
Okay, we got to ask you about the three-game hitting streak that you have going now. How good are you feeling at the plate? And do you have some bragging rights right now with the boys?
I don't really think I have bragging rights. I got all singles. There's no doubles, no homers. There's no bragging rights here. I mean, I'm just hitting the ball the other way. But once I hit a double, you'll hear it. You'll hear it, I promise.
Thanks, Blake. Appreciate it.
Kevin?
Blake, it's not the first time that you've gotten mad at yourself and told yourself what you need to do, but it was remarkable how the fastball got sharper from the third inning on. So, what, did you say something different to yourself in the anger tonight? What did you do?
Yeah, I mean, I said a lot of things, and I guess it worked today. So hopefully the next time I pitch, I can continue to get mad at myself and continue to, you know, keep the rhythm. I just feel like when I got sick, I mean, I was starting to get my rhythm, got sick for 2 weeks, and then I felt really weak, and then I had to, like, build all that back up. So it's just been a lot over the last, I mean, what's it been, 3-4 weeks. So I need to get my fastball velo up, got to get stronger. But that, I mean, that really pushed me back in that. I mean, that's probably what all the anger's from, is just because I know I should be a lot better than what I've been doing. And there's just a lot of things that have contributed to that. And I think I'm just finally at the point where I'm going to start seeing the numbers and producing how I know I should. So I think it's just a mixture of everything, and I'm just, you know, at that point where I need me to come out.
The whole home road thing, does this help put it to rest here? Or, I mean, like, what do you think about your incredibly disparate numbers between home and road?
Yeah, I mean, no matter what, y'all going to find something to talk about. So it doesn't bother me. I mean, I've seen the numbers, I've heard the numbers, but I mean, I think it's just all about me showing up and being ready to dominate. And if my mindset's that way and I have an aggression towards the strike zone, I'm going to be in a good position to win a lot of the time. So I don't really look home away. I love pitching, period. So it doesn't really matter where it's at. It's just at home I pitch a lot better, and on the road I pitch a lot worse this year. So I'll clean that up, even the numbers out, and then we don't have to talk about that. That'll be fun.
That was Blake Snell post game with the media. 97.3 The Fan. Padres beat the Marlins 3-2. Blake Snell having a great night for the Padres. He is 4-3 on the year. He ended up pitching 6 innings. He gave up 3 hits, 1 earned run, 3 walks, and he struck out 8. So one of the best outings we've seen from Blake Snell in a little while. And of course, whenever you have a Blake Snell start, Blake Snell will make the post-game interview very interesting. And he did. He put his changeup on timeout. So I hope his changeup gets out of timeout soon. Very, very soon. All right, Thomas. We are going to head to break. If anybody wants to join us, it's 833-288-0973. Or you can tweet me, at Matt Scraby, at 97.3 The Fan SD. And we're going to go through the out-of-town scoreboard pretty soon. We're also going to go through and name our player of the game. But the out-of-town scoreboard is going to include old friends everywhere, old Padres in the news. And we'll get to all that when we get back. I'm Matt Scraby. This is your home for Padres baseball, 97.3 The Fan.
net.
Which player had the biggest impact on today's game? Let's take a look at the player of the game. Presented by Valley View Casino and Hotel. San Diego's favorite casino and dining.
Payoff pitch to Adam Duvall on the way. And it is swung on and missed. Strike three. Snell reached back, found 95 miles an hour, and collects his eighth strikeout of the night. Blake Snell is through six innings for just the third time this season.
It is so nice to be able to name Blake Snell the player of the game. It's been a while since I've named Blake Snell the player of the game on the postgame show. I'm Matt Scraby, and this is the Padres postgame show on 97.3 The Fan. And that just means because we named him player of the game, he had a great outing. He went six innings. He gave up three hits, only three hits. He gave up one earned run, which was actually given up by Austin Adams. He inherited Blake Snell's runner, which was the double he gave up to start the seventh. He also walked three, and then he struck out eight. So Blake Snell feeling good tonight, looking good tonight. And maybe there's something to what Thomas said earlier on the pregame show. He told me, he said, well, he's going back to Florida, so he's got that good juju. And I'm like, I don't know about that, but you never know. I shouldn't have been so quick to dismiss. So Blake Snell is our player of the game. Now, there are some games around baseball that we were just watching on TV. It just ended between the Yankees and the Red Sox, and I have to tell you, what happened?
It's time to check the scores around the big leagues with the Out of Town Scoreboard. Brought to you by OG's, your headquarters for all games, with seven convenient locations in San Diego.
All right, I'm going to get to that game in just one second because it is well worth the wait. But let's go through some of the games that are happening right now. Top of the seventh, the A's are leading the Mariners in Seattle right now. The A's are going to be playing the Padres here coming up shortly, in a couple Tuesday and Wednesday. So A's are a good team. It's going to be a battle when they come to town next week. The Giants and the Dodgers, this is the big one that we're watching. The Giants were the first team in Major League Baseball to hit 60 or get to 60 wins. And the Dodgers right now are leading them in the bottom of the seventh inning, 3-1. So they can still beat up on each other. They got three more games next week between the Dodgers and the Giants. So good stuff there with the Padres winning. That was a must-win for the Padres tonight. The Tigers beat the Rangers 7-5. The Braves beat the Phillies in Philadelphia 7-2. Charlie Morton gets the win for the Braves. The Rays and the Indians went to 10, but the Rays won 5-4. And old friend alert, Franmil Reyes, he ended up taking old friend alert Luis Patino deep. Luis Patino started for the Rays tonight. He went 5 1/3 innings, so deep. Pretty deep outing for a Rays starting pitcher. He gave up four earned runs, and one of those was a home run to Franmil Reyes. It was a third inning off of Patino. And Cal Quantrill also started for the Indians. He ended up going six innings. He gave up four hits, one earned run, and he struck out two while walking three. So a bunch of Padres all over the place, and Cal Quantrill holding his own tonight. Luis Patino, he ends up, he doesn't get to take the loss, which is a good thing for him. Cal Quantrill doesn't get the win, but Franmil Reyes did go deep in that one. And then we also have the Yankees and the Red Sox at Fenway Park. Now, this one was crazy. That went 10 innings as well. And it ended in a walk-off by our guy, Hunter Renfroe, former Padre. He came up to the plate. The Yankees scored a run in the top of the 10th inning. Then the Red Sox had their guy on second. There was a wild pitch. There was another wild pitch that brought the runner home to tie the game. And then there was a couple more wild pitches. The pitcher for the Yankees, who ends up being Kriske, I've never even heard of this guy, Brooks Kriske, he had four wild pitches in the game. Four! He pitched 2/3 of an inning! And he had four wild pitches. But Hunter Renfroe was up, and he hit a sacrifice fly, a walk-off sac fly for the Red Sox to beat the Yankees 5-4. What else is going on? Oh, the Cardinals beat the Cubs 3-2, and the Angels beat the Twins 3-2 as well. That is it for the scores around baseball. Now, we have to find out who or how many home runs the Padres have hit on the year.
Which Padre went deep tonight? Let's take a look at the Padres home run tally. Brought to you by the Gomez Firm on the Padres Radio Network.
And after a four-hour game, my brain is kind of mush. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I am leading you into paths that we're not supposed to be leading you down. But the Padres, they have hit 119 home runs on the season. They are tied with the Cubs and the Mariners for 11th in baseball. Right now, the Giants and Blue Jays are tied at 144 apiece. But the Padres right now have 119 along with the Cubs and the Mariners. So that's going on there with the home run tally. If you want to join us, 833-288-0973, you can do that. And if you would like to tweet me, you can, at Matt Scraby. But when we get back, we're going to name the relief pitcher of the game, and we are going to preview what is going to happen tomorrow. I know that No-No Joe is on the mound for the Padres, so that's always a fun thing. We'll talk about it when we get back here in about 3 minutes on 97.3 The Fan.
Which pitcher came in and slammed the door shut? Let's find out who's the relief pitcher of the game in partnership with the San Diego Food Bank, providing relief for tens of thousands of families affected by COVID-19. Become a donor or volunteer today at sandiegofoodbank.org.
Matt Scraby and Thomas Andrews back with you here on 97.3 The Fan. Padres baseball. Padres win 3-2 over the Marlins in the first game of a four-game series. Blake Snell pitches well, and he gets the win. But the relief pitcher of the game, it's not Austin Adams, if you were all on the edge of your seat out there. It's not Austin Adams. He had a rough night, and we're going to let that one go. But we are going to choose Emilio Pagan as the pitcher of the relief pitcher of the game tonight, mainly because he came in and he had bases loaded with Jesus Aguilar at the plate, and he was able to get Aguilar out and limit the damage. So that was a huge appearance for Emilio Pagan. I know that we all kind of shudder a little bit when Emilio Pagan comes in, but he has been solid for the Padres this year, outside of a few things. But what pitcher is going to be perfect? So Emilio Pagan is our relief pitcher of the game tonight. The Miami Marlins use 8 pitchers, by the way, tonight. That was crazy. It was a 3-hour and 58-minute game, so that was a little bit insane. But the Padres, it all ends up in the W column for them, so that's all that they care about. Now, tomorrow, we're going to have the game for you right here on 97.3 The Fan starting at 4:10 p.m. Pacific. Pregame with myself at 3:10 p.m. Pacific. I need to know what time to show up. And we're going to see Joe Musgrove take the ball for the Padres. And on the other side, we're going to have Zach Thompson for the Miami Marlins. Zach Thompson looking pretty good so far in his year, is what I'm trying to say. I forgot the word for year. But he is 2-2 with a 1.93 ERA, 33 strikeouts. Joe Musgrove, he is 5-7 on the year with a 3.14 ERA and 119 strikeouts. He hasn't really seen, Joe Musgrove that is, he hasn't really seen many of the Marlins hitters. And no one has seen Zach Thompson before, so it's on the Padres side. So it'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow night, and it'll be Friday Night Baseball here on 97.3 The Fan. So I appreciate everybody who has listened to the postgame show, who appreciate everyone who has called into the postgame show, and I appreciate everyone who has tweeted into the postgame show. Well, I just got a tweet from someone, at SDCatPadre, and he says, Roof Fan Club, because he sent me a screenshot of what's going to be happening in Miami the next few days. Friday rain, Saturday rain, Sunday rain, Monday rain, Tuesday rain, Wednesday rain. So thank you so much to the Miami Marlins for putting a roof on their house. It was nice to get in 9 today. It was nice to get in 9 innings today. That is it for me, I believe, unless Thomas has anything else for me. Oh, he's looking around the room. Nope. Nothing for me. So we're going to sign off for the night, and then we will be back here at 97.3 The Fan with the morning show. Ben and Woods, they start at 5 a.m. Then we'll have Coach John Katerra from noon to 3 p.m. And then we're going to have pregame there at 3:10 p.m. So Gwen and Chris has been off for a while. I miss our show. If anybody's out there, we will have... We will have Gwen and Chris next week, and I was just passed a very important note, and it is very important because Padres manager Jace Tingler is going to be on with Ben and Woods tomorrow morning at 7:30 a.m. You definitely want to check that out. You definitely want to listen to that. So Ben and Woods tomorrow, 7:30 a.m. for Jace Tingler, and they start at 5 a.m., and then you got Coach at noon. So that is setting you up for your Friday, and that will set you up, hopefully, for another Padres win tomorrow night. Padres beat the Marlins in game one of the four-game series, 3-2. Blake Snell gets the win, 4-3. Jordan Holloway takes a loss for the Marlins, 2-3 on the season. And Mark Melancon, he gets his 29. Can anybody else tell out there that we've been here a while and it's late, but I love it. I love getting loopy in the post-game show. Mark Melancon, he gets his 29th save of the year, and I will call him by his name, Mark Melancon. Thank you again to everybody listening. We will be back with you tomorrow for some more Padres baseball right here on your home for Padres baseball, 97.3 The Fan.
Thanks for joining us for today's game. For all the latest news on the Friars, stay tuned to your home of the San Diego Padres, 97.3 The Fan, and the Padres Radio Network.